Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 37. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Apyajanastvam svakrite hita prabho jihasasi svitsuliyada nujivana yesham nachanyam babata padam bujat parayanam rajasu yo jitam hasam. O my Lord, you have executed all duties yourself. Are you leaving us today, though we are completely dependent on your mercy and have no one else to protect us? Now, when all the kings are at enmity with us. I think for the last 6 months, I've been, I don't know, call it struggling, but it's a little bit more difficult for the class than usual, because somehow increasing chanting and writing, you know, my teaching has gone down in terms of studying and keeping a frame of reference. I've gone through so many books over the last years. It's amazing when I think in Vrindavan, just teaching every day, like 6 months a year for like 20 years, practically there's not a book which I haven't covered. So I'm trying to think of the best way to keep up the quality of the classes. The first thing is not to be fatigued. So to take a 12-minute nap in the afternoon will be helpful. But I think the best way is, at least right now, I'll just read a Bhagavatam verse, and I'll just give a Bhagavatam class. I'll continue with these verses and purports. I don't know how much I'll be explaining the continuity of the verses in context, but it'll give me the ability to share my realizations, and I'm sure what I'm studying at the time will come up. I mean, right now, when I wake up early, the first thing I do is I write, and then I study a little bit, and then chant, so hopefully. So I'll read the purport. You have to be attentive. It's always a little difficult just to hear. It's kind of like a real yoga where, you know, the kind of speaker kind of, you know, tunes into your consciousness and, you know, tries to make it relevant and explain and see. But when you're just listening to reading, you have to tune into the consciousness of the speaker. So it's a little bit more demand for attention. Purport, the Pandavas are most fortunate because with all good luck, they're entirely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. In the material world, mercy of someone is the utmost sign of misfortune. But in the case of our transcendental relation with the Lord, it is most fortunate case that we can live completely dependent on him. Material disease is due to thinking of becoming independent of everything. But the cruel material nature does not allow us to become independent. The false attempt to become independent of the stringent laws of nature is known as the material advancement of experimental knowledge. The whole material world is moving on this false attempt of becoming independent of the laws of nature. beginning from Ravana, who wanted to prepare a direct staircase to the planets of heaven, down to the present age. They are trying to overcome the laws of nature. They are trying to approach distant planetary systems by electronic mechanical power. But the highest goal of human civilization is to work hand under the guidance of the Lord and become completely dependent on him. This highest achievement of perfection, of perfect civilization, is to work with valor, but at the same time, depend completely on the Lord. The Pandavas were the ideal executors of this standard of civilization. Undoubtedly, they were completely dependent on the goodwill of the Lord Sri Krishna, but they were not idle parasites of the Lord. They were all highly qualified, both by personal character and by physical activities. Still, they always looked for the mercy of the Lord because they knew that every living being is dependent by constitutional position. The perfection of life is therefore to become dependent on the will of the Lord instead of becoming falsely independent in the material world. Those who are trying to be called falsely independent are called anatta, anatta, without any guidance. Whereas those who are completely dependent on the will of the Lord are called sanatta, or those who have someone to protect them. Therefore, we must try to be sanatta so that we can always be protected from the unfavorable condition of material existence. By the deluding power of the external material nature, we forget that the material condition of life is the most undesirable perplexity. The Bhagavad Gita therefore directs us that after many, many births, one fortunate person becomes aware of the fact that Vasudeva is all in all. And the best part of leading one's life is to surrender unto him completely. That is the sign of a Mahatma. All the members of the Pandava family were Mahatmas in household life. Maharaj Yudhisthira was the head of these Mahatmas, and Queen Kunti Dev was the mother. The lesson of the Bhagavad Gita and all the Puranas, specifically the Bhagavad Purana, are therefore inevitably connected with the history of the Pandava Mahatmas. For them, separation from the Lord was just like the separation of a fish from water. Srimati Kunti Devi, therefore, felt such separation like a thunderbolt, and the whole prayer of the queen is to try to persuade the Lord to stay with them. And after the battlefield of Kurukshetra, although the inimical kings were killed, their sons and grandsons were still there to deal with the Pandavas. It's not only the Pandavas who were put into the condition of enmity, but all of us are always in such a condition. A lot here in this purport, I'm really relishing it. And the best way of living is to become completely dependent on the will of the Lord and therefore overcome all difficulties of material existence. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivas Adhigor Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just 1 second. I'm giving class just a little soft about it. Yeah, not just a little. Well, greetings from Mayapur, Odaryadam. It's quite a wonderful experience because Odarya means magnanimity. And if there's anything that we need in this world, it's mercy. We need more than we deserve. I think we all feel that. We're just not pure. We're plagued with so many selfish desires. And therefore, mercy is so attractive. Just like when Sukadeva Goswami left the womb of his mother at the age of like 14 or something, and at the end went to the forest, and his father, Vyasadeva, sent his father Vyasadeva sent his father Vyasadeva sent I just can't I'm just trying to get to class. It's just once a week. That's it. And he sent his students. And when you study Sanskrit, you have to create the samskara for the language by constantly repeating it. Otherwise, it's the way the brain works. If you want to learn another language, you have to constantly hear it. Otherwise, you don't pick up the meaning. And therefore, they're revising their verses. And Sukadeva Goswami was Atmaramas Chamunayo Nigrant Ukrame Kravanta Hoitakim Bhaktim. He was Atmarama. He was completely self-satisfied. He had no attachment to this world. And they were reciting verses from the Bhagavatam, and there was, I think, three or four verses that he heard that really attracted him. And one was from the third canto, Aho Bakiyam Kula Kuta Sat, oh, how merciful is Krishna, even though Putana came with deadly poison on her breast to kill Krishna, because he just accepted her as his mother, and she got the same destination, or she got liberation. So how merciful. So we're all attracted to mercy. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the mood of Adarya, is just so attractive. Because as it says in the last paragraph we're reading, it's not only the Pandavas who are put into the condition of envy, but all of us are always in a condition. It's just the nature of the world. How much do we suffer from enmity, from discord, left and right? It's like for described in the Gita that it's just like the wind in a bamboo field, and the wind just blows, and the bamboo touches, and fires start, forest fires start, without any reason, without any cause, just the way the nature is. And I guess, you know, anybody that's aware of what's happening in the world, we could just see the nature of the world and the enmity on every single level. It's hard to live a moment in our life where there's not someone that hates us. And no matter how saintly we are, it's someone who annoys us. So this is the condition of the world. And we're not actually going to be able to change the condition of the world. Because it's a reaction, and I just heard this on a tape by Prabhupada. During my deity worship every morning, I've been listening to a tape. And, you know, Prabhupada just says that due to all the sinful activity that's created, there's going to be wars. I hate to scare people. It's not just one person or another person. It's collective karma. It's collective karma. And so many sinful activities, and the culture is sinful. And there are reactions. And the only way to free oneself is to transcend. It doesn't mean that we don't have some responsibilities in the world for Dharma. But the only way not to get entangled in the difficulties of the material world is to become completely dependent on the will of the Lord. And Prabhupada just gives such a nice example in the purport. Two examples that were very beautiful, like a fish in water. Once the fish is out of water, it suffers. It doesn't matter what environment surrounds it externally. If it's not situated properly, it suffers. That's the purpose of suffering. The purpose of suffering is to indicate there's something wrong so you can move in the proper direction. That may be another argument that can be developed against the contention that because there's evil in the world, God doesn't exist. How do we change without suffering? Actually, I look at myself, if I go in my heart, how am I going to change? And if there's no difficulty, I just stay the way I am. And that's not happiness. The external may not be, you take away the external and you take away the external suffering, you're still left with your consciousness. And the suffering of consciousness is much worse than any external thing. A person living in a free world and completely free that's bipolar may be suffering more than someone who was even in the concentration camps, but who had the right consciousness. I always like that quote from Itti Hillison. If you don't have an inner life, it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on. The other example Prabhupada gave is an orphan. The orphan is independent of a controller, but is that a good situation? Is that a good situation? Or, you know, the person who is against the law lives in the constant fear of being caught or is caught. So there's the regulative principles of freedom. It sounds counterintuitive, but we all know it in our own lives, that by following a logos, an order, we become free within parameters, within parameters. And then we may question, and when I was reading this purport, I thought people may question, well, that's not fair. Why can't we be free and happy? And basically all we're saying is, why can't we be God? But then there's someone else that's not God. So there is a reality, and we have a part in the reality. And it's so unfair to dictate, why can't there be a different reality, as if we can establish it better. There is a reality, and we're part of that reality. It's a constitution. And it's fine. It's fine, because that constitution is a situation of love. Why do we have to think that mercy means position and power? And if it doesn't mean position and power, then there's some authority greater than our own. And what's wrong with that? What's wrong with having a shelter? What's wrong with having a loving mother, a protective father? What's wrong with that order? Is it better to be an orphan? Or is it better to be in a unit that functions for everyone's benefit and we play a role? And when we move out of that, there's suffering. Because that's just to indicate that there's something wrong. I give the example, if you put your hand on a metal plate, but there was no pain. If there is no pain in life, you'd probably just die, because you wouldn't be able to stop that which is wrong. Just think in ordinary life, how many times we stop that which is wrong because there's some suffering, right? You know, you drink something too hot and there's suffering, so you don't drink it. So let's say, oh, there was no suffering. You'd scald your mouth. Or you'd freeze to death. Or you'd step on something and it'd go through your foot and you wouldn't even pull your foot away because you wouldn't notice it. So, and what to speak of the concept that dependence is love and love is happiness. If there's no dependence, there's no love. You're not dependent on someone and the affection they give you and the affection you give for them. There's no love. So intertwined with this concept of dependence, which I think at the very beginning of the purports, Prabhupada says something about that. The Pandavas are most fortunate because with all luck, they were entirely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. In the material world, to be dependent on the mercy of someone is the utmost sign of misfortune. It's actually one of the causes of disease mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Too much depend on another person's mercy. And that seems to completely contradict our philosophy, because our philosophy is to depend on God's mercy. Too much dependence on someone's mercy. But that means one who is not merciful, one who is not kind. It means working in the world where in a second, your boss can throw you out, and then you have no recourse. It's so much tension when there's no dependence on someone who is not worthy of that. But there's nothing wrong to be dependent on someone who is worthy, who gives you shelter. That's what the term surrender means. The term surrender means sharanagati. Sharanagati. Surrender means gati, to go for shelter. We put ourselves under one who can fulfill our needs. And the greatest need is for love. And that's our relationship with God. And therefore, and that's the entrance to bhakti. And when we have sharanagati, then we're completely at peace, because we have a maintainer, we have a protector, and it's the supreme protector, and therefore we are confident that whatever happens is best. That's what it means to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And therefore we do everything favorable for that relationship. I also give the concept of a symphony orchestra. The harmony. And what does harmony mean? You don't just do your own thing. Harmony is a beautiful thing. We talked about cognitive dissonance, and we're trying to struggle with the term, but what is dissonance? Dissonance means a lack of harmony between two things. And then what's cognitive dissonance? When you hold two concepts that are not in harmony, but you don't consciously accept the contradiction and therefore resolve it with the truth, actually, because one is not, or something like that. But I don't want to get lost in that subject again. So, yeah, to become independent of what? Family? Of the government? Of a loving child and their mother? Look, I love the analogy of a child and the mother, a little child. What is that dependence? What is that dependence? It's love, it's care, it's nurturing. And it is the person who has the capability to do it. And it is our position to be dependent on that. And we don't want to live it. So this term dependence has a lot to do with love. The shelter that is worthy shelter, because it is love. Because it has the power to do good, and it does it. And when you have that type of relationship where you do feel sheltered, you become very attached to it. Because we are not independent and complete within ourselves. And just like a part in the machine. You know, actually, Gail is on the conference, and Henry's on the conference, and other people that know Nanda Dulal. In fact, Henry, he lives in Mayapur now. And when I took lunch there, he remembered my Vyas Puja and sitting with you and befriending you. And I know you always liked him, such a gentleman. I lost my point, but I'll just tell you what an authentic Bengali meal. So this, I forgot that point, but that happens sometimes when I go off. I remember people and I become very excited. So we're not independent. And we don't want to be orphans. And we're real satisfied in that type of relationship. We're not complete. Oh yeah, the example we had, now I remember why I mentioned that, because we're talking about their son Manu, who was in the Navy, but he wasn't in the Navy, he was a nuclear engineer. And he would talk about he would talk about a small part that was worth 50 cents, right? He's not in the Navy now, but what he would do is he would be the engineer on call for nuclear submarines. And the nuclear submarines, they can't be publicly known where they are. So he was always under top secret. He was always under the top secret. They would tell his parents, "I'm going for a month. You won't hear from me." But he explained to his parents that one part, but you know, to take the channels to get and put the part to fix the nuclear machine, a very cheap part, it may cost the government $100,000. The means they have to do to get it there. But the point is, it's not that the part had value, the part had value in relationship to what it was part of. And that's us. There's a harmony and we play a part in it. And that's our constitution. And we shouldn't be envious that we're not God. And that we're not, that's it, that's basically it. Because he's the only one that's Swarat, the first verse of the Bhagavatam, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Jadma Jasya Itondaya Itaratas Abhigas. The two qualities that distinguish God from everybody else, he's fully cognizant and he's independent. He's self-Swarat, he's self-ruled. He's self-ruled. So anyway, you develop a great attachment to that. And that's really what we're looking for in life. Up to the platform of transcendence, we're looking to relationships that are so nourishing to our heart that we're dependent on them, we love them. And it's nice to have even a friend that gives us shelter that we can depend on. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And that relationship with the Supreme, Twasmin, I always quote from the Narada Bhakti Sutras, Twasmin Parama Prema Rup. It's the highest form of love, and therefore the highest form of happiness. And how dependent, how necessary. And therefore, now that Krishna is leaving, Vipadat Chantu Tashyasvajat. Let those calamities, Vipadat, the troubles, let them happen again and again, because then we're with you. And that's what bhakti means, real bhakti. Pure bhakti on the highest platform, I've explained this many times, is unbroken. And it's unbroken because there is nothing better than it. There's no more pain than giving it up. It has the highest value. And therefore, there's no price that we can pay for it, because it's the divine, who's absolute. And the pleasure and connection with him is absolute. So there's no there's no price that is too little to pay. That's why bhakti, one of the favorable aspects of bhakti is to be patient and to have confidence. Because whatever trouble it is, it's worth it. And that's our faith. That's why we continue to go on. Because there is some experience of that, and we know the value of it, and therefore we continue. Even if we're not fully experiencing it now, even if we're not experiencing it now, but we have that faith, trust by experience, because there was some experience of that that impelled us to go forward and convinced us of its worth. So this very other nice point that Prabhupada makes in the purport is, listen to this sentence, this highest achievement of perfect civilization is to work with valor, at the same time depend completely on the Lord. I was reading today, you see, I'm reading more, so I feel my frame of reference, it just brings up all the things that you remember and puts them together. So I hope I can continue the classes with this new schedule of making sure at least a half hour, an hour of study in the morning. But it's easy now because I'll be giving class every day. But highest achievement. Yeah, so there was a story from the Mahabharata where Yudhisthira and Draupadi was saying, no, you know, everything is dependent on us. She said, if you were a farmer, you have to water the plant, you have to, you know, pull out the weeds and till the ground. If you don't do it, you don't do it, then nothing will grow. But then Yudhisthira said, but still you're dependent on the rain. Still you're dependent on the rain. So there's some part, there's five factors of action, and one is the endeavor. But the ahankara, I am the doer, means that the foolishness is thinking that I am the only doer. The part I'm reading is about Kamsa and when Narada. When Narada Devadarshana, he sees the benefit of the demigods, he knows they're being persecuted by Kamsa, he wants to accelerate Kamsa's death. And therefore, he instigates Narada, he instigates Kamsa by telling him that actually Mother Yasoda had a daughter, Vasudev, actually took that eighth child, and he actually lives with Yasoda. And Balaram lives at Rohini. The people that are to kill you, the people that are to kill you are there. The people that are to kill you are there. So he instigated him. And then Kamsa was furious. He locked up Vasudev and Devaki again. And madly, he wanted to make a plan. He was carried away with the motive passion. Interesting thing, too, is that he had a ritual, you know, to create auspiciousness. But because he was passionate, he didn't check the right time and it became useless. That confirmed for me a little bit, like, I don't really call it a fetish, but I like to have any initiation I do at an auspicious time. So to work with valor, we do our part, but our endeavor is only this one of the factors of action, and don't think it's everything. And therefore, it reflects on our life that we as much as possible, we don't have to work to kill ourselves. Because that can fall into the consciousness that I'm the only doer. We do our duty and we leave the rest to Krishna. It's a tough one. I was just writing, you'll read it in the Monday morning greetings. I'm really talking about this concept of dependence and how it's so healthy to move out of our comfort zone. Prabhupada called it material protective agents. And, you know, because our comfort zone means the area where we are under the illusion that we have constructed it or we have sought it, and therefore we can control our environment. And to take ourselves and put ourselves in a position where we're not in control, then we can actually see that Krishna actually is. And that kind of reciprocation from Krishna is actually necessary to develop devotion in our hearts. That's why book distribution is so glorious. You go out there and you're completely in an atmosphere that's really beyond your control. Trying to sell religious books in the modern world, of course, people have some interest, etc. But you have to have faith in Krishna. But it's not after that. But when you do Dharma itself, when you live a righteous life and you do what's right, you're making a lot of personal sacrifices. You're not working to get a material advantage, but it winds up auspicious. So just following Dharma, doing what's right. There are many ways, but we have to put ourselves in situations. You know, one way I do that is honestly by writing. Because it comes Friday, I don't know how I'm going to complete what I do, but I know that I'm not the doer, that if I just serve Krishna, he somehow is working through me in this service. And I see him working through me because I can't believe that I come up with something every week. And every single week there's a challenge when it comes Thursday and Friday. Where am I going to get to the next thing? But by now, I just realize I just have to do my service and Krishna reciprocates, but I get to see him. So it's nice to take a risk for Krishna, put yourself on the line, do your Dharma, give charity, which is not a material calculation. You think you're losing, but you see, actually, someone who gives charity, they'll also see that they have just as much. They haven't lost. How is that possible? They gave away part of their resources, but they haven't lost. How is that possible? There's so many ways to follow God's will, to put ourselves in situations beyond our control so that we could see God's. Anyway, they're attached to Krishna because he is the protector. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dhanapan. Prabhu Agyai Bhai Bhagyai Bhiksha. Shradavan Jan Hey. Shradavan Jan Hey. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dhanapan. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dhanapran. Krishna is the mother, Krishna is the father, Krishna is the Lord of our life. Okay, I'm kind of feel good about this format. Just give a Bhagavatam class and incorporate, and we'll still go over and we'll finish Queen Kunti's prayers and then we'll see what we do next. Anybody like to ask any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Yes, I do have a question.
You seem almost guilty. Okay, what's your question?
When you said that, you know, we are incomplete without Krishna. I was thinking of that, was it the first Isha Upanishad verse, is it the first or the introduction, I don't know, that says that, you know, Krishna only emanates complete whole, you know, only complete wholes come from the complete whole. So in what sense are we as his parts complete?
We're complete in ourselves. Like when the hand is connected to the body, it functions perfectly. It has all the energy of the body. It has all the, but it's still the anga and not the angi. It's the limb. It's not the possessor of the limbs. It's the part. It's not the whole. No, we're infinitesimal. We're not infinite. We are dependent. So it means that connection makes us complete. Like a child belonging to a family. And he's completely dependent on the family, but once he's in the family and cooperative with the family, he gets the benefit of the family. But it doesn't mean he's the head of the family, or the control of the family, or the earner of the family, or not in need of the family. But he becomes complete within himself. Not that he becomes the family, or not that we become God. But we have everything we need, and all power, once we're connected. Like plugging in a socket, we get the power of the powerhouse, but it doesn't mean we're the powerhouse.
The word complete just makes it sound as though, you know, you don't need anything else.
Words are used in context. They're not isolated. They're used in context, and we have to understand them in context. And therefore, we can reconcile. You know, words have their meaning in context, not independently. Like, you know, always it's like that. And especially in spiritual subjects, it's spoken like that because it's efficient to communicate. And Prabhupada also, I talk about context relevance. You know, it obviously doesn't mean we're God, even though it says we're complete. But it was the best word to use because it meant in the context of being connected to God, we're complete in our own nature. We have everything we need. How's that? We have everything we need. It's just like the violinist within the symphony. You know, it's complete. It doesn't mean it's a symphony, but now it has some purpose. It can make music, but separately, it doesn't have much function.
Okay. Yeah, the symphony violin thing is nice analogy.
Okay. Okay.
Also, you know, it doesn't. I think the word complete can be confused with independent, and that's not what it means. Complete is not
right.
Doesn't mean
it does. Yeah. No, it doesn't mean independent. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you say that Henry is in? He lives in Mayapur now.
No, he doesn't live in Mayapur. I was saying I was with Nanda Dulal, and he was talking about going my Vyas Puja, and then he mentioned Henry, because I think he met him there, and they became, you know, kind of, they liked each other. That's all I was mentioning.
Oh. Okay.
No, Henry lives in Washington.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Ask a question.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj, it's Betty.
Hi, Bo.
Thank you so much for this class. I think I wish my son had been on this class because it's so relevant.
Have him listen to it.
I will. I will. Thank you.
See if he does that. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj, it's Malati.
Oh, great. Great to hear from you. Okay. Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. It's Sri Rupa.
Sri Rupa. Okay. Did you deliver those books yet? Had a chance?
I haven't gotten there yet. I'm going to go today.
Oh, that's right. Today is Sunday. Okay, great. Great. Sri Rupa and... not Sri Rupa, Seva Priya and Tamal came to visit me yesterday. I'll see them again once more. They're having a great time here. Janav is doing a great job. Every day she's taking them out.
I've seen the pictures. They look like they are ecstatic.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Eugenio and Gloria. Thank you for the class.
Hi, Bo. See you soon. Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Kamala.
Who is it?
It's Kamala here.
Oh, Kamala. Yeah, I have to answer your letter. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for the lecture.
Several people were away for the holidays, and they weren't on class before. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bo, Jaini Thai. Hi, Bo. With your family, enjoying their association. Hi, Bo. Okay. Hi, Bo. Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Gamaraj. This is Kishori Radha.
And Gopinath.
Okay. All right. Yugal is going to check on it and get back to you about the taxis by tomorrow. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks
okay.
So much.
Anybody right. else? Say hello.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Sri Gandharika.
Good to have you back on the class. I also got your letter today. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Jai Kishori.
Okay, I heard Jai Kishori. Who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Bal Govinda.
Lal Govinda in separation from Braja Sundari Radha, who's probably having the time of her. I can imagine. Amazing. Good. Anybody else? Okay, we'll end here. Thank you all. Bancho Kalpa Trubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha, Patitanam, Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namah.